I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round four recap for this week's AT&T Byron Nelson. And joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. What's up, Greg?
Rick, great to be back again today for the second go around. I'm looking forward to getting some Kyle Porter takes on this one.
Well, Kyle Porter is here to provide those takes. KP, good to see you.
Yeah, I've got, I don't know how many takes I have right now, Greg. I'm pacing myself. It's like Spieth before Augusta. You need to finish T6 and kind of pace your way. And yeah, I'm trying to peak next Sunday, not this Sunday.
I am going to
be in and out of this podcast because I have some HQ duties. So I'll be out and I'll be back in. So I'll try to provide takes along the way.
If you duck out, we know where you've gone. And it was a 2-hour and 22-minute rain delay, but we are ready to just do it. Let's crown him, KH Lee, victorious at the AT&T Byron Nelson. Greg, this is his first PGA Tour victory. He was a four-time winner over in Asia, and he will be the last man into this PGA Championship field next week.
Yeah, it was a really nice week for him. Kind of a guy, I know I didn't expect him to win. Apparently, there was somebody else here who on earlier in the week did. I was not one of them. And the reason for that is he's a short game guy. Like he has some venues that are really good for him. The one that comes to mind is Riviera. He does really well there because his strength is really short game. But this week, he turned into somebody different and all of a sudden was a great tee to green player. He was third approaching the green. He was third tee to green. And he still did perform well around the greens. He was 11 of 13 scrambling, ninth putting. So he had kind of a unique week where he was really hot with the irons. And that's what led him to victory today. Early on, he just continued to flag it on two, three, four, and then again on six. Those holes, he hit really good iron shots. He did it again on 17, and it won him the tournament.
This, KP, I'll tee you up on this. He flipped the script early in this thing on Sunday. I mean, this was like 12 hours ago at this point. But remember, he entered Sunday one shot behind Sam Burns. He birdies 2, 3, 4, and 6. He adds another on 8, but essentially through 5 holes, he had a 3-shot lead and he never looked back.
Yeah, he did. And really the guys around, you know, we saw, who did we see on Sunday? Patton Kizzire and Berger were a combined 17 under. But they're so far. It was like the guys around him, Burns and Schwartzel, and even like the Noren, Spieth, who else was it? Scott Stallings, I think, was in that group.
Yeah.
They didn't really, my guy, Scott Stallings, they didn't really push either. And so what happened was it was almost like the one guy out of the last, I don't know, three groups that played the best ended up winning the tournament. And that was sort of going to be the recipe at this course, right? Because I shouldn't say play the best. Obviously you got to play the best, but score the best. And this was so crazy about his win. We talk about Spieth was on the No Line Up podcast earlier this week, talking about how you can't ever be perfect. And KH Lee made one bogey through his first 62 holes. I mean, it's as close to perfect as you can kind of be in a golf tournament. And I'm with Greg. I thought he was super impressive all week.
I wondered how the rain delay, 2 hours and 22 minutes when he is on 16 green, was going to impact things, Greg. And he missed the par putt after that. But then he just goes up there on 17, which is a par three, and he stuffs one to, let's see here, 3 feet, 11 inches, knocks that in. And then we got the old KP Vince Carter gif at that moment.
Right. And Sam Burns had a real good shot, and you can see things change after a rain delay. We saw it at Masters on Saturday when Hideki Matsuyama went crazy. And there, the fortunate thing for KH Lee here is there weren't quite as many holes, So it wasn't like there was six holes where Sam Burns could just come out, reset and go crazy. There wasn't enough room for that. But if he makes bogey at 16, and then he loses another shot at 17, and you have 18, which is you could see an eagle there, so you could see another swing, and all of a sudden it gets pretty tight. And the shot at 17 after Burns hit it in there to makeable range really sealed the deal. And I thought it was a clutch shot, and not although it's an easy shot because it's a wedge with no wind, and it's not a very long hole. It's a difficult shot to execute in that moment and hit it to 3 feet. It's still better than average. It's much better than the average.
He also played, it was almost like he played three different tournaments on Sunday, right? So he played the front nine, and you're just trying to you're trying to shoot 30 essentially, or mm-hmm. whatever, 30, 31, 32. Then you start that back nine and you're trying to keep it at level par because it's rainy and you've got a three stroke lead, and you guys can't really, there wasn't a ton of room to operate, right? There wasn't a ton of room to make a bunch of birdies like we'd seen all week. And then he has to play those last three holes where you kind of turn it up a little bit again, but he also has the lead. So I thought mentally, like he was kind of playing three different events, and he played them all really, he played them differently, but I thought he handled them all very well.
It's a good way to look at it, Kyle, because there was definitely a big change for the second nine when the rain came. Because all of a sudden you think when it rains on a golf course, it's going to get softer, it's going to get easier. But there's a big difference between playing after a rain and playing in the rain. And in the rain is always challenging, right? I mean, it's pouring rain. It's hard to make birdies. But so the event kind of, it went through a stretch where, and there are some tougher holes in that stretch as well, early back nine. But it just kind of got, everybody was just making pars. Maybe a bogey here or there, a rare birdie for some of the guys on 18, but it was like nothing happened for that whole stretch in the middle. And KH Lee's three shot lead for like four straight holes. Not easy to do, but at the same time, it really helped him, I thought, because it was hard. It was so hard to make birdies, but it's still soft and the greens are slowing up, and it's not going to get away from you where you just start making a ton of bogeys. It kind of levels it makes it hard to make a move, basically.
Yeah.
Outside of Thursday evening, KP, where you were like, KH Lee 66-1, that's kind of interesting. I don't think we saw this coming into the week, right? I mean, his runner-up finish at the Waste Management a couple of months ago and this event are two obviously top 10 finishes. Those, his last top 10 before this, T5 at the 2019 RSM Classic. It's been a while for KH Lee on the first page of the leaderboard.
Yeah, and it's weird because I don't know why I said him on Thursday night. We have the clip somewhere. I think it's on the First Cut.
Yeah, I would love to know why you thought that.
I don't know. I just it was all the leaders, and we talked about this after the first round. Like Spieth at 2-1 was a joke. Like it was, or whatever it was, plus 225.
I think that's right. I'll tell you why. I mean, after the first round, he was third in strokes gained approach. He was fourth from tee to green, and he was 98th in putting. And then you start to see what he did over the next couple of days. Well, he was fifth in putting on Friday. He was 31st. That's just fine on Saturday. And then as of right now, he is 10th on Sunday. It was essentially a let's get a hot putter.
So this was the model. This was the model. This is the positive outcome of the model.
Okay. Right. Yeah. This, all right. When it works.
What did he shoot in the first round again? He was
65.
65. Yeah. So he was right there and had a bad putting day. Okay. I understand.
But to Rick's point, like, he's not a great ball striker. Did you guys see his, that article? It got passed around. I think they mentioned it on the broadcast also, but where he talks about how he talked about a bunch of things, but he started playing golf because he wanted to lose weight, which is great.
Yeah.
But also the other thing, and I kind of wrote about this a little bit for Sunday night. He says he literally dreams about winning on tour. Like everybody's like, oh, it's my dream. You know, like it's like literally he has these dreams where he wins on tour.
Written on the goal sheet. Dreaming it in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Which is awesome. And it probably didn't include like a 150 minute rain delay and a missed par putt right after that. But I think it's crazy to Rick's point. Like, he's not a great ball striker. He's fine. He's a decent ball striker, but in a field, it's not like this field was bad. It was pretty good. You had Bryson, you had John Rahm, Zalatoris, I think, was first in ball strike or strokes gained tee to green this week. Spieth's hitting it great. And then all of a sudden, KH Lee just has, and we see this happen, right? Like, I'm glad he took advantage of it because he doesn't have ball striking weeks like he did this week. This isn't a Burns situation at Valspar where you're like, I don't know. Great pedigree, could be a floodgate situation. KH Lee is more of just a kind of a middle of the road guy who might win two or three times on the PGA Tour over the course of his career. So it's cool, I think, to see guys take advantage of those, you know, handful of opportunities that they have.
I love it when guys who are about to win mark their 9-inch putt on 18.
Oh, it's the best.
I know it looks corny. I know you're not going to miss it, but you deserve it, man. Don't tap that in. Get it all out there. Let everybody finish. Have your moment. You deserve it. I love that. That's what KH Lee did. It's the best.
I love it too.
Sam Burns.
You make the last putt to win. There should be, it's more fair to your opponent, to your playing partners as well. You don't want everybody going nuts when, you know, rush the storm in the field.
If you roll in a 55 footer or whatever,
well, then you got to deal with it. That's just part of,
I was at the US Open at Pebble, and remember when Gary Woodland made like the 40 footer to win it?
Yes.
But he was up like three or whatever.
It was,
I saw Spieth and JT right after that. And we were walking back and I was talking to them about Woodland, and they're like, this dude's never won a major before. He doesn't know that you have to lag that and then like get the ovation and mark it. Right. And I was cracking up because it was a very like, hey, this is how it's done type conversation. Yeah.
This is the way we do things out here. Welcome to the tour, Gary.
I love it. Sam Burns does not go back-to-back, gentlemen. He enters Sunday with a one-shot lead over KH Lee. Didn't play particularly well. It ends up being a 2-under-70 to get him in, I believe, solo second at this point, Greg. And it certainly does not take away from the accomplishment of going win runner-up in two consecutive starts. But is this one of those things where you look back and say, oh, man, that one might have gotten away from me a little bit?
Well, the start of this round, I think, was more, and I alluded to this a little bit earlier, the start of this round turned out to be more important than it is in a normal week. Now, it's always important on Sunday, the way you start, but those first couple of holes, I think, were even highlighted because of the weather that came in afterwards and the log jam that just kind of happened where you couldn't really make a move in that middle back nine. And yesterday, if you look at Jordan Spieth's round, he got off to a similar start. He's even through five and then goes nuts the rest of the way. And because of the weather, that was taken away. So KH Lee, who gets it done in those first six holes, first eight holes, whatever you want to call it, Sam Burns was unable to do it. And for that reason, he doesn't end up winning. The slow start cost him the chance to get hot during that round. So I think he takes away a ton of positives. He is still in great form. He's expecting to contend week in and week out. And he's, I would say, expecting to win at this point. He probably leaves upset that he didn't win, but there are a ton of positives for him to take away.
It's the expectations for me, KP. I think expectations for Sam Burns have certainly changed over the course of the past couple of weeks, and whether they are in his own minds or whether they are in our minds. But he's kind of been on the verge of this, where he's been playing just ceiling golf for a couple of rounds at a time. And now we're starting to see it pay dividends as he puts three rounds together, three and a half rounds together, four rounds together. And I think our expectations for Sammy Burns have changed.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, this was a little bit of a reversion to what we saw at the beginning of the year, right at Torrey.
And then Genesis.
Riviera. You're not going to win. Like, one of the biggest or most annoying misnomers is like, oh, stars win every time they're in contention. It's like, no, they don't. Like, they win. They're in contention a lot. Therefore, they win a lot. It's not like... Right. They take advantage of every single time. So I think no matter what happened, I just sometimes discard Sunday altogether. It's like, I don't know, you put yourself in that position, whatever happens over the last 18 holes happens. And I remain like, this does nothing to what I think about Sam Burns. If anything, this week overall kind of bumps it up a little bit. Like, I'm starting where I view him in my mind, I think, is starting to gain some momentum to where he's becoming like one of those, okay, is he a top 25 type guy? Is he a top 40 type guy in the world? And I don't know, maybe he is. We'll see.
Maybe he is. We'll see. I like that. That's like the subtitle of my a book about Sam Burns. Jordan Spieth. Let's talk about that. You'll talk about momentum leading into a PGA Championship. Jordan Spieth, another top 10 T9 here at the Byron Nelson. I'm not even going to try to count how many top 10s he has this year, Greg. It's quite a few. He's got the win on the resume. He's going to a place where he can become the sixth man to complete the career Grand Slam. I don't know what you want to say about his Sunday round. It wasn't great. It was his worst round of the week. He shot a 71. It's one under par. It's not nearly good enough to win a birdie fest like we had at the Byron Nelson this year, but Spieth is just cruising, straight cruising.
Yeah, he's clearly in very good form. And I think this is proof in a way that what he did from February through Masters was not a fluke, right? This is back to Jordan. He is back, like as back as you can be. This is the Jordan Spieth that first came out on tour, contending week in and week out, winning when he has a chance, continuing to put himself in position. And he takes a little bit of a layoff after Masters and ends up getting COVID, and things get his, that routine gets shifted, right? It changes. And when he gets back to golf, this is what we get. We get good Jordan still. And to me, it's proof. It's like Kyle was saying, Sam Burns week this week is kind of validation. This week is validation to me for Jordan Spieth, because he comes back after a period of time where he's not able to play. So it's not just a hot streak that he was on. There's real skill that's been developed here. There's real trust that's been developed. He has some real, a real solid foundation in his golf game right now. And he's in an extremely positive place right now.
Ninth in strokes gained tee to green on the week, 14th on approach, 51st in putting, and 46th around the green. So we didn't even get the short game magic, KP, from Spieth this week, but he just continues to do him. You love to see it.
Yeah, you do love to see it. I'm with Greg. It's definitely, it's almost as important, or I think validating is the right word. It's almost as validating as anything we saw leading up to the Masters, because I think sometimes, and we talked about this on Thursday, Rick, you get on these runs toward a major, and then you play great in the major, and then you just fall off, and maybe you win that major or whatever. And he almost did, but then you just fall off the map. And for him to not have played in a month, I mean, Koepka came out not having played in a month and missed the cut. I think for Spieth to not played in a month and to kind of be at this baseline of like, yeah, my baseline is as a top 10 guy week to week. And so that's one thing. I think the other thing is like, he hasn't spent a ton of emotional equity toward events leading to the PGA. That was the concern going to the Masters, was like, he And I thought he did a great job of managing it. But when you win, when you're like contending and just kind of just everything leading up to the Masters, it felt like he was emotionally more drained than he is going into the PGA. So I think he's in an awesome spot. I do get he had some shots this week where you're like, that at Kiowa is not going to go as well as it does at TPC Craig Ranch. Like you're not going to, you're going to, you know, hit that in the water instead of maybe you just come up a little short. So I think there are some things to tighten up because Kiowa is a very strategic and difficult place, but man, I don't know. I think he has to be one of the two or three guys that are the favorites going in.
He did. He definitely did hit some shots that were a little, even around the green. Part of the reason I'm so high on him next week is short game. But I saw him, I mean, he flubbed at least two chips that I saw. And that's a little concerning. But then I wonder, he's so confident right now. Jordan will do what's asked of him. And that's kind of my belief right now. He is sniffing out these top tens. He's sniffing out the top of the leaderboard. He's expecting to win just in the same way that Sam Burns is. And because of that, they contend every single week. So I'm with you there, Kyle. He's got to be a favorite.
Real quick, Greg, I got to run in like 4 minutes, but Nick Faldo said on the broadcast, Kiowa is a short game place. And that's what Spieth is great at. And part of me was like, I understand where you're coming from because Rory said a couple weeks ago, like my short game's never been better than it was when I won Kiowa. But also you have to ball strike the hell out of it around Kiowa. I mean, I've done a little bit of research on it. You know this stuff way better than I do. It's just, you can't, you have to hit those greens. You just have to, because if you don't, it's just so you can't keep putting yourself. I mean, as good as Spieth's short game is or whatever, you can't keep putting yourself in that position. And to me, that I think that's actually the enticing part about Spieth is that his iron play has been so good throughout 2021 that I think Kiowa actually, if the driver and it seems to have been kind of worked out, cooperates, then I don't know, man. Like I think he could actually win it.
I do too. I really do. And so I think it's a short game place. I agree with Faldo on that front. And part of it is because it's going to be windy for the most part. It's always windy there, even if it's going to be a calm day. And I know you got to get going, Kyle. But I know
we're going to get Kyle out of here right now. Thanks, Kyle. Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, KP.
See you.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll hang up and listen. Would have been my life. It's a short game course to me because it's so long and because the ball striking element is so challenging and because you're going to miss greens. And when it's windy out there, there are shots. We talked about this a little bit earlier, Rick, right? You end up with shots into very tight areas from very long distances with very severe trouble on one side. And the smart play in some cases is to miss the green to the other side, to not take on that risk of making a double bogey or a triple bogey, which is lurking on, for example, the right-hand side of the green. So you strategically play away. Now you have that short game to lean on. And I think that's one of the things that really helped Rory in 2012. He kept momentum going and because he was able to get up and down when he did miss. And I'm not saying he was bailing out all this, but anytime you're going to bail out, which will happen, you got to be able to get up and down and close the deal.
We've spent a lot of time this year talking about how great golf has been, how we've gotten awesome winners and great results. Did we have fun this week? Like not to take away anything from KH Lee. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of the birdie fest. We knew it was coming. I think the two plus hour rain delay, unfortunately, at the very end of this event, you know, puts a damper on it, a pun intended. Yes. And while it was still a great event, and it's always tough to be the week before a major championship because everybody already wants to turn the page, Greg, which I normally don't think is fair, but like I was like, oh man, like could they have not just gotten this thing in before this 2 hour rain delay?
So you bring up an interesting thing with the birdie fest, and many people don't like birdie fest. I do for the most part, and the reason is they always have great endings. They provide great theater coming down the stretch. And most of the time in a birdie fest, you don't know who's going to win. This one, because of the kind of tail of the tape because of the three tournaments, the three rounds that you had to play within this one round that Kyle mentioned earlier. It took the birdie fest out of it. So you had kind of the really challenging section where nobody could make a move, and it took out the the best part of a birdie fest is the end on Sunday, and that got kind of taken away by the weather. It was definitely a damper. It definitely took the wind out of the sails, and it made what could have been, what had the potential to be a really exciting back and forth between KH Lee and Sam Burns, and it kind of flattened it out and made it a little a little boring.
Let's do some odds and ends real quick here. Greg, you hit your best bet, which was Schwartzel over Westwood and Howell at plus money. Well done there. I returned 14% ROI in our little betting contest that we do, but it was the coach who went out and just scorched earth Rory McIlroy at Kiowa on us here. He got, let's see, Scottie Scheffler over Brooks Koepka, Cam Champ over Ricky Fowler, Berger over Koepka and Leishman in a three ball, Zalatoris and Schwartzel top 20. And then here's what we knew was, we knew this was coming. We knew this was coming, Greg. Spieth did not win Group C, even though he finished T9, which you hate because Schwartzel finished higher than him. But that's like, oh, that's the one that got away.
Yeah, and you're watching him play, and he's contending, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to win that one. I'm going to win that one. And then it doesn't go great for Jordan, and it does go pretty well for Schwartzel. And it's just, I mean, this is why it's a dangerous game. This is why casinos have such tall buildings, because
that's why they do not go out of business. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So I can make the one and done update here pretty quick because there wasn't much movement here for any of us. Jacob and Coach both had Scottie Scheffler. They finished T47. Greg, you, I, and Mark had Mark Leishman. He finished T21, and Kyle had Keith Mitchell T26. So for all intents and purposes, we are going to enter the PGA Championship essentially in a similar spot to the way that we entered the Byron Nelson.
Yeah, at least the three of us, excluding Kyle from that, who basically did the same thing. Basically, yeah, the four exactly. of us did the same exact thing. So we kind of just decided to wait until next week for the big one. I have a funny feeling that we're going to have some serious movement, and it's starting to get, I don't know about you, Rick, but I look at the one and done sheet that every week when it's time to pick, and the guys that I like during the week, when we go over our Monday stuff, I have all these guys that I really like and the different ranges. And then I check the one and done sheet and I picked him. I picked him. I picked him. Yep. I picked it up. Okay. I want to save. I know I like to save guys for majors, but we've already had three. Yep. We have three more. So this is going to be a really interesting end of the year in this one and done.
My strategy of just going full throttle, foot on gas from the start is now starting to rear its ugly head, as I have zero golfers left. So I'm going to have to get pretty creative the rest of the
time. I mean, in theory, it worked. This is what you know what you're right. doing. You get yourself a lead, and you got a, you know, almost a $2 million lead on Mark. Well, it's at least you got at least a $1.5 million lead on everybody in the top four. The yeah. race for second is really interesting.
It's really tight.
But you're going to have to go get really cold in order for somebody to catch you, I think.
Maybe I can just put it away with a winner next week. We shall see. We're going to talk about next week. We've got a preview, a quick first look out already, but I want to talk a bit more about the PGA Championship next week, because now we've got the Byron Nelson in the books. I want to look at the odds and all that good stuff. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. And we're back. It is officially, that's it. KH Lee taps in on 18. It is officially PGA Championship week. I look over at William Hill, and Rory McIlroy is your betting favorite. He is 12-1. He's there by himself. I think it is interesting, Greg, that odds makers have made a distinction. They said Rory's 12, and then we're just lumping everybody else, Spieth, Thomas, Rahm, DeChambeau, they're all 14-1. So they went out of their way to say Rory's the favorite. He's won here before. And of course, he's coming off the win at the Wells Fargo Championship.
Yeah, it makes sense in a way to me. I like Rory's chances this week because of the way that he won at Quail Hollow. I like what he did to the short game. I think he's answered a lot of questions about the putting. Well, I mean, maybe he did at least for 1 week. So is the putting now? The next question is the putting something that's gonna hold on? Is the putting something that's real, or is the putting just a good week at Quail Hollow? So that's a big lingering question. And, you know, I don't know if you can say Rory's playing better right now than Spieth and Thomas. DJ and Rahm, you can say he's playing better then. But Thomas and Spieth have a real case to be favorites here. So, hey, maybe there's a little bit of value with those two guys.
Maybe there is, because I'm pretty convinced Jordan Spieth's the best player on planet Earth for the last 5 months. I'm pretty convinced that Justin Thomas, over his last whatever range you want to go to, year, 2, 3 years, is the best tee to green player on Earth. So that's going to play every single week, and you hope he finds a decent putter. And even if he doesn't, he can win golf tournaments. So I agree with you. That next tier to me is kind of interesting for just a hair of built-in value. And I think it's also notable, we have not seen Dustin Johnson or, you know, rank behind five other golfers in quite some time. I could look this up, Greg, but he's 16-1 heading into the PGA Championship, and he is behind McIlroy, Spieth, Thomas, Rahm, and DeChambeau, which is not only an assessment of the current state of his game, but also how strong these other guys have been leading into this week.
Which is a big deal. It's a big factor in it. And, you know, the other thing, I want to make one other point on Rory, not to jump on DJ, but, you know, it's very common to oversell course history, in my opinion. Well, Rory won here in 2012, so he's going to win here again in 2021 because it's something tangible. Like, we in our business, Rick, we're always looking for something tangible to hang on to. Well, so how can we use the past to project what happens in the future? And it rarely happens that way. What's the last time somebody went to a major course other than Augusta National and won the next time it was played there? I mean, it just doesn't happen very often.
I was going to say, I don't know if it has. And if it has, I'm sure Tiger was the one who did it, but I can't think of any examples off the top of my head. I'd have to.
Yeah, I think Tiger did it. Did he do it twice at St. Andrews?
I was going to say St. Andrews was the one I thought of.
Yeah, I think that's where it happened. Other than Masters, because Masters is at the same place every year. So you're going to have multiple winners. You rarely have back-to-back winners. I mean, those are really tight odds on Rory. I think he's going to have a good week, but I'm not overly confident that he's going to win. So it'll be interesting.
St. Andrews in 2000 and then St. Andrews in 2005, whereas the two that Tiger won 5 years
back. Yeah.
Okay, looking at the rest of this board, you know, we are certainly going to break this down more in depth on the Monday DFS show, and we'll be giving out our picks on Tuesday. I'm just trying to see. I mean, Brooks Koepka's 30-1, which is a great number for our 19 and 18 champion, but I have more questions than I have answers. If we think short game is going to be critically important, Patrick Reed's at 33. And then did we break Patrick Cantlay? Like, Patrick Cantlay's 35-1, where 4 starts ago, he was a favorite to win, one of the short favorites to win the Players Championship. Like, did we just break this guy by everybody getting in on him?
I don't know what happened. I mean, he's the guy that doesn't do what he did, right? He's Mr. Consistent, and it happened. So I don't know how long that's going to last. I will not be surprised if he pops up in any tournament that he plays and contends. But I'm going to be late, because when there's because of what I said earlier, I want to see some kind of evidence that says, hey, this is going to be the week where he comes back. And when somebody has such a quick fall off, you're basically just guessing when he's going to come back. And so I don't know. I got to hear something positive before I do that. But speaking of Cantlay, his partner in the President's Cup is very interesting to me this week in Xander Schauffele. Yeah, I'm very interested in Xander. I think he's been playing a little bit low key better. And so he was tied third at Masters. We all remember what happened there, and it was disappointing. maybe devastating. But last week at Wells Fargo, he was tied 14th. It was another nice, solid performance. And Xander is a great short game guy. I mean, he has maybe the most underrated short game on tour. He's 18th strokes gained around the green. And I just remember some of the shots that he pulled off at Winged Foot that were so good. And he does that in major. So he steps up in major championships. He plays well in the wind. He has a runner up in a open championship before. And I'm looking at Xander saying he's kind of the sneaky guy who's a big name that I think could really contend this week.
All right. Well, we have plenty more content coming this week for the PGA Championship. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. Kyle Porter, we said goodbye to him so he could go do some HQ duties. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. Right here with me is Greg Ducharme. You can find him at The Real GFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.